You ever think tellers get real judgy? They're like looking at the account and then they're like looking at your outfit. They're like, you should not have bought that.
There's nothing you can talk about in a bank that's like appropriate.
You get a 20-year window where you fully understand technology. This baby was born with angel wings. That's probably AI. If this is what an adult is, I'm Peter Pan. This sucks. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson, and I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, my best friend, Melissa Nickerson. And we have to get moving, everybody, because as Melissa just told me and Andy, we have a bank appointment at 11.
Yeah, we do.
And she forgot to eat.
I forgot to eat.
And that is
so like
that is now
like
our
explosion. Explosion is coming.
A pending doom. Mel forgot to eat, and that is now our problem.
Well, Dustin, when I was waiting for my drink, I almost got something to eat. But my Apple Pay is messed up because my daughter tried to buy some fraudulent homecoming dresses. Yeah. And I keep calling my bank and they're like, no, it's fine. And then I'm like, but it's not working yet. You know.
Well, don't worry. There are also just like some international servers crashing and, you know. Yeah, it's hard to convince your daughter to, or it's hard to train teens on like websites you can trust.
Yeah.
I mean, we've joked that before, but I mean, I swear I do. I mean, I spend hours a week trying to train my kids and my dad on what online websites they can trust.
Right. And they're getting these links from like TikTok, you know?
Yeah.
And like she sent a link for her birthday.
Yeah.
I'm like, what website?
Yeah.
This is like international?
Yeah.
Like, we're not buying it.
They're chasing. My kids are chasing random TikTok links. My dad is fielding calls that literally say potentially spam. And he's like, I love spam. Spam is calling me for some reason.
Yeah. And then we're stuck in the middle and my debit card is shut down.
Yeah.
And my Apple Pay is shut down. Our credit card has been flagged.
Yeah.
It's like I can't pay for anything anymore, I guess.
Enjoy 25 to 45 where the only times that you truly can understand the internet.
Mm-hmm.
That's your window.
So we have four more years?
We have four more years.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you just know you can't trust anybody.
Yeah.
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 But eventually you just, well, maybe I can.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget.
That's
forget.
Exactly it. You get a 20. You get a 20-year window where you fully understand technology.
That's true because I'll send like Instagram messages to my kids, and they're like, "That's AI."
Yeah,
like little funny animal videos, like the trampoline. Remember the trampoline?
Yeah, the bunny
and
on
like,
the trampoline.
Oh, this is so funny. And then Joel's like, "That's AI, Mom."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Oh, well." I guess I'm old now.
Crossing over.
No. That one is a you. We all kind of knew that one, wasn't it? Well,
no,
that's,
I think it was a different one.
Yeah.
Again, it was a different video, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, well, that's weird.
That's the problem.
You're at the age where you both can recognize, we're at the age where you can recognize what AI looks like, and also you're not so old that you can still, like, you know what things may or may not actually happen. Like, when you see someone on Facebook posting their favorite politician, you know, like, visiting a hospital next to their favorite baseball player, and you're like, can you believe my favorite baseball player and my favorite politician visited this hospital together? I'm like, they probably didn't, actually.
Sure.
That was probably AI generated.
Fake news.
You're like, look at this picture of Jesus hugging my governor, and you're like, it's probably AI.
I think.
Yeah.
Historically.
Yeah.
Chronologically.
This baby was born with angel wings. That's probably AI. It's most likely. Most likely.
Love.
Enjoy it. Enjoy your 20 years of in technology. Mm-hmm. But we're cutting edge. But we're on podcasts.
Oh, yeah. When our son went to college, I was like, should I get Snapchat?
Hilarious.
Will that help you communicate with me more? And he was like, no, Mom.
Yeah.
But I do know a lot of parents that actually do use it.
I had someone in my meet and greet line this week. Sometimes.
For that reason.
Yeah. Sometimes in my meet and greet lines, if somebody tells me they couldn't make it to, like, hey, so-and-so couldn't make it to the show. Mm-hmm. If they tell me that, oftentimes I'll be like, give me your phone. I'll do a video and I'll do a little shout out.
Yeah.
And this week, someone around our age was like, yeah, just my dad couldn't make it to the show. Just record it in Snapchat and I'll send it to him. I'm like, what? You're like 40 sending this to your dad via Snapchat.
Yeah, it's your dad's 70s.
Yeah.
With Snapchat. Yeah.
Wild.
Anyways.
You know, some grandparents are just with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing with Snapchat is it has the streaks.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like for my college son, that might help him to communicate with
me. Because he's goal-oriented. He wants to keep his streak alive.
It'd probably work for our daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They haven't written good modern parenting books yet. Like, nobody's written the book on how to respond when your 15-year-old's cussing you out because you turned her phone off and she has to keep her Snap streak alive.
Can I have more time? We're trying to plan a Secret Santa for our volleyball team.
Yeah, okay. I wish it was that wholesome. It's not that wholesome. It's truly like, you know, if I break the streak, Caitlin's gonna be so mad at me. Me and Caitlin
it's
have
over. It's over. Caitlin, we're already on ice.
Me and Caitlin have a 120-day streak, and you're like, it's 10. You had all day to do this.
Don't procrastinate your Snapchat streaks. Plan
ahead. It's not
my fault.
It's not my fault you're a procrastinator, you know?
I can see your screen time.
Yeah. I don't care. I don't care about your streak. I need you to go to sleep. I need you to go to sleep. I need you to go to bed. You've broken your chores streak every day this week.
What if... So I'll get Snapchat, and then I will send her a picture of her chore.
Yeah.
And then she'll see this.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're like, I'm on a 3-year streak of paying for that phone. So my streak's alive.
Live and well.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, we're not here to talk about any of that stuff today. I mean, we already did, but mostly we're just talking about Melissa's bank appointment, which I'm going to as well. But I think I'm probably going to have to get a chia from Public Square and bring that over to you at the bank.
I don't know.
The last time we
were
there,
make it.
If you want to know how high inflation's gotten, last time we were there, there was just some people hanging out in the bank lobby using the Keurig that weren't banking.
There's couches.
And they've set up like a little couch situation and they were just chatting up. And I was like, oh my, is this the modern cafe, the bank Keurig?
Well, the funny thing about that bank is they have a cardboard hearth that I think they put out for Christmas last year. It's still in the lobby.
Still in the lobby, yeah.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I remember bank lobbies feeling like, oh, this is nice.
Oh, yeah.
You know, kind of like the commercials with that what's that old little layer cake, that dessert commercial? That and Zima's.
Just the height of sophistication.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I remember a bank lobby feeling like the height of sophistication in the 90s.
I would go into a bank lobby as a kid and go, I don't want to be an adult. If this is what an adult is, I'm Peter Pan. This sucks. Our kids will never know the suffering of a bank lobby because they have a device or we're not going to banks. So you're like, this is stuffy. This is boring. Mm-hmm. It's quiet. This is where the money is. I thought a bank should be like a casino. Would you be running in here? Ding, 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 ding.
Well,
ding,
but
ding.
They did have like the little tubes, you know, the little
sometimes,
like the
yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
like technologically, it's like, ooh, that's.
Yeah, it was a little bit, yeah. But, you know, as a 10-year-old, you're like, put me in the tube. Yeah. Get me the hell out of this place. They're so
the
stuffy.
Worst.
I hate a bank. Yeah. I still hate a bank.
I do too.
Why?
Yeah. Let's get rid of banks.
Well,
kidding.
All right.
I'm kidding.
All right, Andrew Jackson. No, you just everything about it. You're like, dude, I'm not going to steal your pen.
Yeah.
Why is this
chained to the wall?
Why is this chained on the wall?
Yeah.
I feel like the pen right now. And my dad's over there writing something by hand and some book, and he's got to fill out the receipt.
Tear it
and
off.
Then. There's the, and you look at the banker. The banker's just not happy with how their life has turned out. They're not happy to be here. No one's happy
they
to be in here.
You.
You're also like when you grow up without a lot of means. It's not like your parents were thrilled to be at the bank, anyways. They're not there. Dropping their
and getting
the
a loan.
Teller, they're looking. You can see the way they're looking. Oh my gosh, they're looking at their account. Is it?
I know. There's nothing you can talk about in a bank that's like appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, because they can see how much money you have.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Do you ever think.
What are you doing this weekend?
Yeah.
Well, looks not like much. Not much.
You ever think tellers get real judgy? They're like looking at the account and then they're like looking at your outfit. They're like, you should not have bought that. You cannot afford that.
They're looking at your Starbucks drink.
And then every once in a while, your parents would be like, actually, we have to have a meeting with the banker. We got to go. And you're like, no, what? There's a different area we got to go to. But anyways, Mel's got a big bank appointment today, which means I do too, because my name's on the accounts. Anyways, guys, what we want to talk about today is baseball. And we're going to get to baseball. Speaking of American pastimes, banks and baseball. But we got a bunch of other stuff that we want to get to before that. But, you know, my Seattle Mariners got eliminated from the playoffs last night.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of what you've been posting a lot about baseball, and this has been, like, really over the last, like, 4 or 5 years, I've, like, started to, like, kind of, like, re-fall in love with baseball because the team has been interesting again. Always cared about it. So we're going to talk a lot about that. And we got a lot of comments and emails from people talking about baseball. But we've got some stuff to get to in the meantime. First off, if you haven't left us a review already, please do.
Yes.
Particularly on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you listen.
Doesn't have to be funny.
It doesn't have to be funny. If you don't know what to say, just say,
just
Mel
say
said
Mel
it didn't
said
have, to,
doesn't
be
have
funny.
To be funny.
Five stars.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say our podcast isn't funny. So why would the comment have to be?
Yeah.
You know? And to which I would say in a secure human moment, I would say, hey, man, funny is very subjective. If we're not for you, that's great.
That's fine.
And then in an emotional moment, I'd be like, well, you suck. So this is one we got here from Fire/EMS29. Sometimes people forget what their Apple username is. Five stars, funny, relatable. This has come to be one of my favorite podcasts. They never try to push their views on you. Oh.
Hmm.
Except anti-bank views. They're just sharing their experiences. By the way, if you haven't read Dustin's book, it is a great read. Thank you. I do have a book. It's called How to Be Married to Melissa, published 2.5 years ago. Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is time?
What is time?
Abolish banks, abolish time.
Yeah.
Mel
I'm going dark.
Mel's taking this Mariner loss harder than I thought.
I just wanted to plug our Patreon. We had our Zoom last night.
During the game.
Start of the game.
Yeah.
And we do a monthly Zoom hang. We do merch discounts. We do behind the scenes every week video.
And greets at shows.
Greets at shows. We also send out Nickerson family Christmas cards.
Oh yeah,
and it's that time of year.
Oh, we're hiring you for ours this year. I haven't told you the idea yet.
Yeah,
but
it's on my list. So you have until the end of November to sign up for Patreon to get the Nickerson family Christmas card.
Great.
We have different tiers and different levels and different prices, so check it out.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. First off, I do want to say this sweet hat that I got right here. This was a gift from a backseater. Luke sent me this. Thanks for the hat, Luke.
It's very nice.
It's mm-hmm. This is the Arkansas Mariners, I think, single A affiliate.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
That is cool.
That's great.
Isn't that nice? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Travelers, baby. Yeah, I like it. Anyways.
Turn that way so they can see the other side. That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
The compass there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice hat. Thanks, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
He even messaged me my head size. Wonder. Sometimes I'd like to think that I am like a modern evolved man and not like a trope. And then I realize I know my fitted hat size and not my mom's birthday. When's your mom's birthday? Yeah. I'm not sure. What size is it? 7 3/8. 7 3/8. Smaller when I was a kid. It's been the same mess since senior year. 7 3/8. 7 3/8. When's your anniversary? 8/14. Let's not get those mixed up. Otherwise, I'm gonna have a real big hat coming my way. Do you even know what that means? It's the inch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know mine.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. You've never had a fitted hat in your life, so there. It's you know. Tonight, yeah. It's a good one. It's mm-hmm. It's essentially I would, it's the medium of head sizes. I think you know it's very average size.
Yeah,
I just remember Aaron Weber had that joke, right?
Big old head. Yeah, those 8+.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's funny.
They are
like as a football helmet or something.
Well, yeah.
Homecoming king.
Well,
something.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Coincidentally. The more I think about it, like you do, the number you hear is it is like, for reference, it's your response should be very similar to that of the number we give you. How do I find it? How do I react to the number they're saying? Just imagine it's how heavy the baby was. So like if someone mm-hmm. says like it starts with a 7, you're like, well, okay, yeah, that's fairly normal.
Yeah, 7 pounds.
And anything 8+, you're like, phew. That sounds uncomfortable. That was a big head.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You had 1 8-pounder?
I had a 9-pounder.
Claire was a 9. Gloria was a 9.
Yes, she was.
Oh, Mel. Oh, this is some classic Mel stuff.
Kill you. No. Joel was 8'10".
And Gloria was 9?
Gloria was 9 pounds.
You know what? I'm going to fully retract my statement and say you're right. Because even if I am right here, which I don't
you're
really
not
know.
Right.
Even if I was right here, which I don't think I am, you would be much more inclined to remember this specifically. And even on the off chance that I am right, I'm not trying to downplay how hard your labor was.
It's fine.
Retreat.
I retreat. I recant.
Let's just move on. Back to Banks.
Back to Banks. Take him down. We have the energy of a 2-episode
we
day.
Do.
But yeah. All we've done is read one one review. So,
are you doing tour dates?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Check.
Look them up.
Okay.
Seattle. Right. This weekend. Everywhere.
Yeah.
Portland.
It's been
Nashville.
2 weeks. We didn't record last week because you were out of town. So.
Okay.
That's why. That's my
Seattle
reason.
This weekend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Corvallis is sold out. Can't go to those. Only Seattle early show. And then I think my next one is Nashville. So,
okay.
And then December I've got Oklahoma City, Jersey,
Tulsa.
Tulsa. Thank you. Check them out, guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's do a couple comments here. So this is from Nikki. This was on YouTube. She also emailed this. But you want to read that one?
Sure. When my twins were little, their bedtime was always bed 30, which means it was literally whenever we needed it to be. 9 p.m., bed 30. 6:30 p.m. after a hectic day, bed 30. It worked like magic until they learned to tell time and started peppering up with the question, so exactly what time is bed 30 on the clock? Busted.
Love it.
That's amazing.
Love that. Amazing. Good stuff, Nikki. Cook.
Mm-hmm.
This is an email we got from Greg. Hi, Mel and Dustin. Those 3 pair of feet you showed wearing identical, generic, but famous brand running shoes hit the bullseye. Figuratively, I'm one of those shoe wearers. You've now highlighted to me that my, quote, famous slip-on wearing brother-in-law shoe compliment that I've been secretly liking a lot to me is now a, at best a non-compliment. I would still think about this more as these multiple pairs will be lasting a long time on my walking. Smiles, Gregory. Thanks, Greg. Yeah, that really resonated with a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. Mel, you can read this one.
Great.
And real quick, we'll read this, and then as you do, can you pull up the subject of an image of this?
Yeah.
Mel, yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this is from Mika. In South Carolina, we have palmetto bugs. Cute name, but they are larger flying cockroaches. I was feeding my two-month-old baby in bed, and my husband points to the one crawling on my leg. I throw my baby. My husband assures me I sat her down, but it felt like I threw her. And I screamed and jumped out of bed. I just left my two-month-old baby in bed to defend herself. We never found the bug, but luckily I was too tired to let it affect my sleep.
Pull up a palmetto bug.
Oh,
what are these
things?
I've never heard of this.
Okay, so...
Ooh, God. Oh, thank you.
Florida Woods cockroach.
Oh, there's cockroaches, and then there's that.
Oh,
I hate that.
And it flies?
Oh, look at how much worse it is compared to these other two types. Oh, it's bulbous. Oh, gross.
Oh, I hate it so much.
So,
it's red like the devil.
Oh, gross.
Yuck.
It looks like the devil. It really does look like the devil.
They do gotta call these devil bugs.
Truly.
Oh,
how big do they get?
Oh, that looks like the size of a thumb. 1.5 inches.
1.6 inches.
I mean, that's fairly big.
Too big. Too big.
That's the size of a mouse. A small mouse, yeah.
For sure.
Ugh.
The exterminator that came out did say, he was like, we're talking about cockroaches because we found one in our house, a live one. And then he was like, they can fly.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, he's like, I probably shouldn't have told you that. And I was like,
oh,
so,
man.
Yeah.
Well, we only got the one. And then there was a, Mel came into our room the other day, and by the vent, there you were like, I think there's another dead cockroach.
Yeah.
And this is, it was a very weird thing that happened where I was like, well, I have good news, I guess. It's not a cockroach, but it was a praying mantis.
Oh, yeah.
Which I've never even seen before, ever. I don't think I've ever seen one.
A dead one.
Mantises are like, mm-hmm. kind of like the mythical bugs of the garden.
Yeah.
I mean, they are a wonderful creature. They're incredible. They will attack. They can defeat nearly anything.
Yeah.
I mean, most things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was in our house.
Well, it was dead in our house. Cool. So I was like, how is this getting in here?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it was like, I'm obviously familiar with the mantis. I knew what it was right when you say it. But you're like, oh, well, I guess I don't love that that's in my house, though. Like, I wouldn't be happy seeing a mantis crawl around.
Yeah, they find their way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're probably not going to do anything to me, right? Yeah. Neither is that cockroach, but I don't like to see it.
Yeah. No, the mantis won't do anything to you. They're like really like high, I think they're like upper tier like hierarchical bugs. Like they're not interested.
I love that. Are they S tier for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, they are. They are an S tier bug for me.
Well, I know we've done brackets in the past, but I like the tier system. As always, leave us comments on the Dustin Nickerson Comedy Fans Facebook group, and also send us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com or leave comments in YouTube. That's where we pull this from. Some quick weekend recaps. It's kind of two. Weekend recaps. Two weekends ago, we were in San Francisco, and it was really fun. I was up at the Punchline, mm-hmm. one of my favorite clubs in the country. Really great San Francisco. Thanks for coming out. It's just so fun to be there. And Mel and the kids came up. So a couple fans got to meet Mel, which was nice for them.
Mm-hmm.
We randomly were in San Francisco during Fleet Week, and there was like a tech week. It was a very busy time, so we were at the wharf being super touristy.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. I did a joke about it online, but apparently the snowbirds were already booked. They were a part of the Fleet Week show, but they became the headliners during the government shutdown because the Blue Angels were not available. But it was a great show, and it was really fun
to
be at.
Yeah.
We were super touristy, getting bread bowls at, you know,
at the wharf.
Yeah.
My favorite moment was someone came up to me and they were like, "What are you eating? What is this?" Is they wanted to order it.
Love that.
But they, you know, were internationals and I just, it was just a great moment.
Yeah.
Because I took her to the menu and I said, like, top left.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
And we went to, we've been going there a while. I was looking it up. I think, how do you say that? Musée? Yeah.
Musée? I don't know.
Mécanique. Musée Mécanique, I think is how you say it. There's like a vintage, like, arcade. But like vintage, like early 1900s.
Old games, yeah.
Now, some of them aren't even games. Like put in a corner, watch these dolls do this little show.
There's a lot of antique kind of game based entertainment in there.
Yeah.
It's like a warehouse.
It's fun. And there's also, you know, the Simpsons arcade and stuff like that. Right. So our kids loved it. Well, two of our kids loved it.
It's right there.
Yeah, and then we went down to the shops down at the Pier 1, you know, not Pier 1 Imports. It's actually a market area.
Yeah.
Great.
It was a long walk, but...
Love San Francisco.
It was a nice walk.
So great. Yeah. Thanks for coming out. We saw Joel's race.
Golden Gate Park.
Golden Gate Park. Again, just a place we've been taking our kids forever. First time we get to see Joel run in college. Amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So cool.
And we also went to Chinatown with the girls.
Oh, yeah.
They loved it.
San Francisco's got a great Chinatown.
Yeah, it's like one of the best Chinatowns.
Yeah. I think it might be the best.
We didn't get in a cable car, but we did watch the cable cars run up and down the hill.
Yeah.
It was pretty fun. But we were kind of limited on time, so we just had to see a few things.
The home is the cafe, and I think it's in Chinatown that I really like too. And like, it's a good coffee, and like you can take like your teenage girls to it. They have like matchas and stuff that they like, so it's great. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend it. This is a DM that you got from Nicole. This is somewhat related.
Yeah.
Hey, Melissa, love your podcast. Could I get some cross-country mom advice? My 10-year-old just tried out for the team the very first time, and he never ran a mile before. He came in last with a 12:30. Now he's super discouraged. Should he still do it? Is that a bad time?
Okay, Nicole, so...
10.
Good thing about like endurance sports, like swimming or running, is you can get a first time, and then with like training and practice... you'll probably improve.
Mm-hmm.
Just finishing the race is an accomplishment in and of itself. And with any activity or endurance sport. So if he's enjoying the team, enjoying, you know, the season, I would definitely encourage you both to stick with it throughout the season, because there's a good chance that he's going to get a new best, like a personal best, a PR, personal record, and drop that time. I mean, it's highly likely if he's running a few times a week and putting in some training, and some sprinting and intervals, like his time will improve. And not only, I mean, he's only 10, so he's super young. So if his passion wavers, don't be surprised. He's very young. Mix up the activities and the extracurriculars. But it will help him in middle school if he can run a mile. They have to do it
every
week or other week. Like PE is 5 days a week in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you got to do a little in high school too. So this dreaded mile, which, you know, kids go to the school nurse and try and get sent home because they don't want to run the mile and pee on the mile day. It's not going away. You know, he's going to have to run the mile at least till freshman or sophomore year of high school. So it's not a bad idea that he's doing some conditioning.
Yeah.
For just PE, passing PE.
Totally.
Being able to run a mile is accomplishment, and you should express that to him. Like, it's like holding a plank for 2 minutes or treading water. Like, these are baselines of fitness. So, just keep cheering for him and make sure he's staying hydrated and all that. But hopefully he maybe finds like a relay or something that he could do too, or in track if he sticks with track club. Or relays are super fun, and they kind of build team camaraderie.
Yeah.
Because cross country is an individual sport, but there's also a team component with scoring. So again, I said track club, but for that, that's a possibility. Cross country and track are kind of interchangeable, but different courses are fun because they provide different like trains and opportunities. And so there's a lot of skills that he can learn and you guys can learn together. So yeah. I would definitely stick with the season, and I bet he's going to see some improvement.
Right.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. And the only thing I would add is one of the nice things about cross is it is a no cut sport. And same with track.
Yeah.
And it's not that it's not as competitive, because upper level track is highly competitive. But it's a guarantee your kid will be on a team.
And he'll get playing time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not a guarantee in a lot of sports.
No.
And as someone, when you're trying to keep your kids busy, like there were a couple kids on our cross country teams who just, you know, they did all 3 or 4 years and, you know, they weren't like the fastest kids, but they were just as much as part of the team and the community and
culture
and the culture and the parents as well. So it is a huge accomplishment to show up and train every day. And they're also going to get in incredible shape. It's so much running.
Yeah, it's so good for them health wise. But yeah, you're totally right, because, you know, our kids go to Hude High School, and a lot of times upperclassmen will not do JV.
Mm-hmm.
Like juniors and seniors, because they're trying to build the next varsity class, and that's not true for track and cross country.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Upperclassmen will stay on for 4 years, whereas, you know, a lot of
A lot of time those kids will go join cross country and track too when they get cut from the baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Anyways, good question. San Francisco, by the way, you said it was great, but I was in Kansas City since then, and I was going to tell you this is all related. So this week, the Friday early show, one of the servers came up to me and was like, dude, your fans are great. They're so nice. And he goes, I've never seen somebody have so many tall women fans, because the average height of your fan here is like 6 inches higher than most. And then I go, oh, it's volleyball moms. We're starting. I've made so much volleyball content in the last year. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, and there was one big group of these like 5'10" plus women who are just coming out, and I was like, oh yeah, those are, and I mentioned one point, I was like, oh yeah, you know, I, as a passing thing, like, you know, my daughter plays volleyball, and there was like, woo! I was like, oh man. The volleyball parents, particularly that, the one show, was like, I've never seen so many tall women fans.
So I have
volleyball moms.
Oh my gosh, that's so specific.
It's so specific. But we are our fan base is growing with the youth sports exponentially, which is great. Yeah, I love it. It's our world.
Yeah.
But they couldn't be less available as far as weekends go. They're falling asleep during the early
shows. I have some tall mom friends, and they don't have their kids in volleyball yet because they're not in high school yet.
Yeah.
And they're like, I didn't need to play in middle school. I just showed up my freshman year and made the volleyball team. And I'm like, yes, you did.
As I always say, you can't teach tall. You either got it or you don't. So
this has been the first season of volleyball that I've realized how hard it is to do the net stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
it's so impressive.
I didn't know, because I just hadn't seen this high skill play. It's tough.
Well, speaking of high skill sports, we're here to talk about baseball, Melissa.
Yeah.
Quit diverging us into cross country.
I'm sorry.
Mel went on a great monologue about.
I'm sorry. No, I know. I do. I really love. I love my. I love my sport.
You do. Of course you do. And you're hungry, and you got a bank appointment. 24 minutes.
I got a lot going on.
But shout out to these, by the way, Andy. I picked these up I've had this in my hand for the last 5-10 minutes.
It's nice.
This is gonna be my new way of if the podcast is boring me.
She's gonna pull that out. Oh,
little fidget.
It's like
right
a busy
here.
Board yeah. for a toddler.
Well, I was thinking about this, like, obviously been watching a ton of baseball over the last, few weeks. And yesterday, October 20th, was the latest I've ever watched a Mariners game.
Mm-hmm.
They've still never made it to my birthday, October 24th. Which is a funny and sad thing to say.
Yeah.
I just want to play on my birthday.
I just want to watch the Mariners play a game on my birthday one, or even around my birthday would be great. So they almost made it. They were 9 outs short of making it to a birthday baseball game. We almost made it. We almost made it to my birthday. Oh, the latest in October.
Heartbreak.
It's going to go down as your make a wish.
I know. I will give credit to the Mariners. This is the latest in October they have ever hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Never have they've hurt me every other month. April through early October. And my last mid-October one was, 20 plus years ago. But I was thinking about, this was the question that I was pondering to myself over the last week or two of, like, what makes baseball so special? And it's not to downplay any other sports, because mm-hmm. I don't really have a favorite sport. I kind of love all of them. The ones I know and I understand, I love with kind of
passion,
equality. Right. Like, okay. I really love baseball. I mm-hmm. really love football.
Yeah.
I adore college sports, because college sports, you have the closest identity to them, because it is like, when I say we about the Mariners, there is like kind of like a, sometimes people make fun of that. But when you go to that college, there is a sense of we, because,
the Huskies?
Yeah, the Huskies.
Okay, you said Mariners.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
When you say we about a professional team, you're kind of like talking about the city, and sometimes people make fun of it, like, we, you're not on the team. You're like, shut up. But mm-hmm. with college sports, you feel it a little more. Like, you are like, no.
As an alum.
I am an alum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I love track and field. I loved watching you run. I loved warming up and cooling down with you. I love the Joel runs. I'm falling, really kind of starting to enjoy volleyball a lot. I just mm-hmm. like sports. And
yeah.
But baseball has a certain romance to it.
Yeah.
A certain cultural impact and cachet and a certain like emotional tie-in that I'm not sure I see as vividly in other sports. I don't know what it is, but I find that the romance and the heartache of baseball, I at least observe like a little more, I just think it's a little more intense. Romance and mm-hmm. the heartache of that sport. But so I just kind of been kicking around the idea of like, what makes baseball so special? And I asked this question to a lot of people. I had some immediate thoughts. One, I think I wrote down T-ball. T-ball is a heavily participated sport.
In Little League. Yeah.
Right. T-ball mm-hmm. and Little League that I think you want to look this up, but I think we looked at it before. I think I think baseball and soccer are the most participated youth sports in America. A lot of young kids play Little League and T-ball, and it's very...
I think like 4 to 8.
Yeah. So you don't have a particular fondness for the sport of baseball, but you did get into Little League when it was our little community of Little League, right?
Yeah, no... My dad had us all play baseball.
I
played right.
a lot of people
T-ball
played
and
that
Little
sport.
League for a couple years. Yeah,
and mm-hmm. so that's like attachment number one. And it's not just the Little League and the T-ball, which is special, and it's the community, and it's your local park, and it's pure at that point. It hasn't been touched by travel ball or anything like that.
It's just your neighborhood,
and. Yeah. You put mm-hmm. these kids in the cutest little uniform.
The helmet's like as big as their body. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like bobble heads. Like, yeah, it's adorable.
Yeah,
baseball uniforms are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. They're the silliest things.
Little belts.
But when you put them on, what's that little kid doing wearing a belt? Why is that little kid in a belt?
Because none of the pants fit.
Yes.
Yeah. They put the, you know, the parent at first base, like, you know, to tell them to stop or which direction to go, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's adorable.
It's so cute. But the uniform is, there is something very special about the baseball uniform in that the ridiculousness of it. The fact that the coach wears it. It's the only sport where the coach...
It hasn't changed very much either.
No. Yeah. Well, okay. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
Coach in the football.
Yeah. He's in his pads. It's the only sport, I think, where the coach wears the uniform, which is so silly. Because a lot of time that coach is not as good a shape as he used to be to wear that uniform still. Mm-hmm. But so this is... Part of the reason I wanted to do this episode is I've been talking about baseball so much, and you glaze over immediately because baseball does nothing for you. And I get it. I would, if anybody is like, baseball is boring, I'm like, yes. As a matter of fact, what I've realized is baseball, like playoff baseball, is so intense because you're not supposed to watch every pitch of baseball. That's not how that sport was meant to be. It's called America's pastime. You're passing time. Right. They're chewing tobacco mid-game. They're bored.
Right.
Well, it's like music. It can be passive.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
good comparison.
Background.
Yeah.
Background.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And the other sports are a little more like stand up or magic, where you're like, you got to keep your eye on this.
Yep.
This is not a background sport.
That's why it's called a ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, let's go to the park and hang and
I do. I love going to Petco. Like, it's fun. It's like there's a lot to look at. You know.
Great. See, okay, you've tied in
a vibe.
You got a couple things there already. One, the park vibe is great. The stadium is great. It's very entertainment based because there's so much downtime in the sport of baseball. Again, the player is bored. They're, you know, they're chewing seeds. They're blowing bubbles. Like they have a ton of downtime. Also, the uniform hasn't changed, and the art and the logos are historic and iconic. Like the most signature sporting item in the world to me is a baseball cap. A baseball cap is the signature sport item. And you can just like, if you see, you don't know anything about sports, but you know a Yankees logo when you see it. You see an NY, you see an LA. If you saw a blue hat with a red B, what do you think that is? Okay, well, you didn't...
Braves.
No, I didn't. Boston Red Sox.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Said a blue... Oh, yeah.
I mean, I see how that's confusing because Atlanta puts the A on it.
No, you did nothing wrong there, but the...
Well, it's very iconic art.
It's
and, like,
very iconic
the
art.
The pinstripe. Like,
yes.
The... What's this? The... I can't think of it, but the...
The jersey they're wearing?
No, just that style, a V-neck with like a ringer.
And it,
you know, like the...
There's buttons.
Yeah.
Who? What other sport's wearing buttons? No one's wearing buttons.
Well, it's just very iconic.
Yeah.
Like, all of it.
The imagery, the iconic, you know, what's the word? Iconography or...
Iconography.
Iconography. There you go. It's very, and it's very rooted in Americana in that regard. Like, it's just these teams, they've been here forever. Every once in a while, they'll do like some modern updates and stuff, but you're like, but the old ones...
America's pastime.
America's pastime.
Yeah.
So, T-ball... The youth participation, the sport, or the stadium aspect, the uniforms are a part of it. Mm-hmm. I also think the fact that it's summer, and it is the summer sport, and it drains on kind of like summer does sometimes. But kids played it over the summer, and it is a very
It's outside.
It's outside.
Yeah.
So it's like. Ideally, it's the best weather. It's outside. You have there's a fondness attached to it because you're like, as a kid, these were the best times of my life, in theory. Probably the most dangerous times of my life, too.
Sure,
but.
Sure. I have like great memories of our son walking the field, you know, the bases or whatever, the field before they do the Little League you know, day every spring.
Oh, Little League day.
And then you kind of go to the stands and they get their seats, but then they all go play baseball.
Yeah.
There's a little, you know, the park in the park. Mm-hmm. And they're playing wiffle ball and just having a blast.
It's the sweetest thing in the world. Well, I'm glad you tie that in. Also, I think the Sandlot is an important part of this.
Yeah, it definitely is nostalgic and romanticizes.
It's the 4th of July sport.
It also, the beauty of the Sandlot is you're watching boys become men. And so, like, there's the growth of, you know, the change of life and, you know, the passage of time. It's, that's the really, at the very end of the Sandlot when they all grow up. Yeah. And you watch fifth, sixth grade boys playing baseball and you're watching.
Yeah.
Them become young men, you know?
And when I'm watching.
Just wait, Andy. Just wait.
Well, and when I'm watching, I think even more as a dad, when I'm watching like Cal Raleigh cry at the end of the game or holding back tears and Julio let out the like primal yell that he did in the locker room last night, I'm thinking about the fifth, sixth grade boy. Because that's who it is. That kid's wanted that his whole life. In baseball, you know, they, like, Cal Raleigh grew up a Red Sox fan and watched them break the curse. He cheered for that, the Red Sox, and he's been saying all along, he's like, I want to do that for the city of Seattle, and he's holding back his tears. You're like, that's a little kid who grew up and is still doing it. And, you know, it's wonderful. It's emotional.
Well, and that's... having watched our son do all of Little League, fifth, sixth grade is when the boys get more emotional.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It comes back.
And the parents.
But like, you know, the kindergarten, first grade, you're like, oh, they're emotional. And then they kind of, but then as they like enter adolescence, they get emotional again.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that adds to the emotions and one of the things that adds to what makes baseball so great is... I was saying this to Andy before, baseball doesn't have a clock. And most sports have a clock. Most team sports especially have a clock. I think all team sports have a clock. I could be wrong.
Right.
They're either a race or there's a clock. Baseball has to end in a run or an out. It has to end that way. There has to be a play. There's no clock that's going to expire. Your team can't just get a big lead and the other team never get a chance to come back, or the clock runs out on them. It has to end. It has a finality to it. And therefore, I think a stress to watching it where you're like, you're watching the innings pass and that feels good, but not as good as like the clock winding down. And you know when a game is going to end because the has the freaking clock on it. You don't know when baseball is going to end.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, how's gonna long is the game going to be? I don't know. It might go to 15 innings. So,
and in that game too, like you either win or lose to skill or luck. You don't lose. You don't get to lose to a clock.
Yeah,
which feels like a little unfair sometimes. You're like, ah, they just ran down the clock.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I also think that because it's so long, it makes the specialness of the postseason so important. That it is. It's not the same, but like. When I watch the Olympics, I'm like, they had to wait 4 years for this. 4 years for this to come back.
Yeah.
4 freaking years. They might lose their prime in that time.
I always think about the travel and the time change and like they're in Japan.
You know,
these American athletes and not all their families there.
Yeah.
And they can't just text them or FaceTime them and you know, their sleep schedules. Reversed or you know like all of it
and with baseball like do you know how many baseball games there are in a season?
I think you told me
162.
Yeah,
162 games.
That's insane.
A dumb arbitrary number, by the way.
Right. So many.
And then you watch it just end. And that there's a finality to it. And I know other sports have that, but no other sport plays that many games. And I think that there's something to the dog days of summer, the mundaneness to it that adds to the romance of it. That it this was more of a marathon than anything. It's also a hugely failure-based sport. I think there's a relatability to baseball that if you fail 7 out of 10 times, you're a Hall of Famer. If you bat 300 for your life, they're going to enshrine you forever. Mm-hmm. So it's failure based.
It's so hard to
do. It's mundane. Yeah. It takes time. You're going to fail so many times, but you could still be successful at the end. And then it has these wildly, and you're like, this is a pretty decent metaphor for life, honestly.
Yeah.
And also, the richest team usually wins. So,
well, that's what I was going to say is that why it's also maybe America's greatest game is because it's like everybody kind of has a chance to come back.
Yeah.
You're not fighting the clock. You can keep failing until you win.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of a bit of the history of the American spirit of like, hey, everybody has a chance to win at this unless you're a billionaire.
Yeah. That's not true anymore because of the salary cap. But all right, let's read a couple comments and then get out of here because Mel's stressing this bank appointment. Banks and baseball. This is from Sarah. Being a Cubs fan is a family legacy, full of heartbreak until 2016. I have so many memories of being at family gatherings with the Cubs game on, talking about the team manager and how bad, good they were, usually bad. I also absolutely love being at Wrigley Field. It feels like home. It's a part of who I am.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's what we were talking about. You know, when you the stadiums, you get really attached to the stadiums. This is from Celine.
You want me to read this one?
No, I'm going fast. My father-in-law was from Brooklyn. You can read the next one. From Brooklyn, so my husband grew up going to Yankees games. I knew he loved them, but I didn't appreciate how much until the week of our wedding when the Red Sox beat the Yankees in Game 7 of the American League Championship. All of a sudden, my husband-to-be was depressed. My husband would like me to add that it wasn't just the Game 7, but the Red Sox overcame a 3-1 deficit in a 7-game series for the first and only time in MLB history. Fortunately, he bucked up for the big day, and minutes before the ceremony, our Gamecocks beat Arkansas. Amazing. It was a happy day after all. It's great. You can read this one, Mel. Drew.
Drew says, for me, it's the social aspect. It's usually a cheap ticket. If you go to the right games, cheap beer and food. You get to be outside with your friends. Sometimes it's bark in the park and you get to see dogs.
Yep.
The game itself is secondary for me. The vibes, though, are hard to
beat. That's what you were saying, yeah.
Also, a kid of the 90s, the movie Sandlot was formative for me. Anytime I think of baseball, I imagine the romanticized version of childhood you see in that film.
Man, that's good. Mm-hmm. That is good. That's I will add to that. There's an accessibility to the sport because the games, there are so many games, they are cheaper.
Not everyone can attend an NFL football game.
No, there's less games. There's like, you know, 8-9 home games a year and they're expensive tickets. Baseball tickets can be pricey too. But if you choose the right game, the right seats, they're not going to sell out. You go get some food.
You can also do AAA or...
Well, as you say, you also have minor league teams.
Yeah, right. Minor league is accessible and affordable.
I mean, they're going to... Hat trick. What ball is the thing? They're going to race some mascots. It's great. Bob Hammond, a couple more here. As a kid, I used to listen to baseball games on the radio. So radio is an important... It's the only sport that you listen to on the radio. I know other countries listen to soccer on the radio, but it is a radio game. Some of them I only listen to on radio. Mm-hmm. I could just lay in bed listening to the games and picture what was happening. It was so peaceful. And the great announcers could sell some of the best stories in between plays. Vin Scully was always the best at that. You want to read
that? Yeah, they have like almost melodic voices.
Beautiful voices. Rick Riz, Dave Niehaus, these are the voices of my childhood. So let's do a couple more and then get Melissa
Bob
to the bank.
Bob says, as a kid, I used to... Oh, nope. Sarah says, growing up in San Jose, nothing could beat San Jose Giants games.
That's a minor league team.
We could often grab free tickets at Orchard Supply Hardware. Crazy George made every game fun, and the churros and tri-chip sandwiches were amazing. Our oldest was born when the SF Giants were dominating. John Miller's comforting voice announcing their games on the radio would comfort her right to sleep when she was having meltdowns. Mm. My husband treasures his memory of holding her when Matt Cain pitched his perfect game.
That's the sweetest thing I've ever read.
It's very nice. I do associate Mariners baseball with Baby Joel. Oh. Yeah, because he was born in May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justin said, my very first baseball game was the Atlanta Braves in September 91. Just so happened to be the game that clinched their first playoff berth, as many years after being the worst team the year before. Braves won, and we watched the scoreboard of the final inning as the Giants and Reds game. Once it was over, the Braves came running out of the field with pennant shirts and celebrated on the field. I was 9. I was hooked. Why don't you read the next
one?
That's
awesome.
We got a couple.
Elizabeth
more.
Says, I love going as a kid in the 90s. It was fun. The one and only time we are kids. We No,
we went with our kids.
Yeah. We went with our kids. They thought they were melting and shudder at the thought of going again, even though the new stadium is air conditioned. Photo of them trying not to melt, but using ice packs.
It's not all possible.
Yeah, baseball can be hot.
Yeah. Growing up, this is from Corey. Growing up in a family of meager means, going to M's games felt like an extravagant treat, even if it was the $10 metal bleacher seats in the third deck of the Kingdom. I even got to see Junior's first game in the big leagues when he roped a double at first at bat. What a legend. A couple more.
Awesome. Billy says, during my eighth grade season, I both took a foul ball to the nose while waiting for my team's practice to start and got ejected for arguing a call strike three. Oh, you wanted happy memories?
This is from Jody. Ooh. This is going against what you're asking for, but I find it funny. As a person with low vision, baseball's a real bore. I can't see the ball, so I just don't get what everyone gets. I've said before, if you think baseball's boring, I agree.
Damaris says, my dad is Cuban, and we lived in Chicago until I was five. He would take me to Cubs and White Sox games once I could sit still. Whenever we went back to visit our family, about every 3 or 4 years, he would make sure to take me and my brother to one of each. My dad does not spend money, like to the point of foregoing medical treatments that would make our lives much better. But boy, did he spare no expense when it came to a live baseball game. A Pepsi and a burger were such a luxury, and I looked forward to it every time we went. I missed going to those games with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let me add one more to that. Like, as we're kind of sharing those little stories, like that, just I only maybe a couple months ago had dug into an old box and found like old pennants that like I had. So I had like an old 90s Duck pennant. I had like an old Chicago pennant because my mom's from Illinois. But then I have an A's pennant that I got out that I remember specifically getting that from like my uncle who passed from cancer a few years ago. Like he used to take us to A's games all the time. And he would always get great seats like right behind first base. And I just remember like that moment of like kind of sitting around first base and just like all the romance of baseball, yeah, the sun out and all of that. And now that like that team's gone. On, you know, from Oakland.
Brutal.
It's like every time I go in my my little area and I see that there, that's almost like a shining fun kid memory of baseball.
Memento.
And memento of love that time period too.
So. Love it. Well, amazing. Thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you.
Go Mariners.
Woo.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everybody, want to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up patrons who give to our podcast. Thank you so much for your support of our work. They are
Adam Bush,
Alex Foose and Sam Graham,
Averill Griffiths,
Allison Nelson,
Andy and Darlene Gerton,
Bonnie Galindo,
Brandon Schoenberger,
Gary Teague,
Chris Finn,
Christopher and Bridget Finlin,
Code to Grow,
Courtney Ibling,
Dam Aris Diaz Stevens,
Daniel Owens,
Dave and Melissa Cox,
Dave Hoagland,
Jason and Francis White,
Jonathan Rivera,
Jordan Cowan,
Juliana Smith,
Christy Harrod,
Lori Amos,
Lauren and Nick Rachel,
Matt and Sam Slazdom,
Michelle Kauslan,
Nick Cordell,
Norman Perron,
Preston and Rachel Wilson,
Raina Camps,
Robert and Nellie Capen,
Scott Elliott,
Steven Menya,
Zachary and Tammy Moyle,
and Tiffany Payne. Thanks
Thank
so much,
you.
Everybody.